the truck first and set it up on the west side of the house. He considered starting the job of getting the hooks up before telling her he was there, but decided against it. It was better to gauge the barometer of her mood before testing his parameters. In a warm down jacket, prepared for rain or possible snow, and blue jeans and boots instead of his office attire, Jason knocked on her door twice and stood back. Owen opened the door, a piece of pizza in his hand.
"You're early."
Heat from inside rushed out.
"I am. I thought I'd get those lights up for you guys before we get the tree."
Owen looked beyond the threshold and toward the ladder.
"Good idea. I'll get the lights from the garage."
He turned and left Jason standing in the doorway. Once Owen disappeared from view, Rachel stepped around the corner. She wore a beige sweater and blue jeans that hugged her hips. It was hard not to stare.
"So your phone is dead, huh?"
He blinked a few times and met her eyes.
"Yeah, I thought it was the battery, but then..."
He opened his palm and made a noise indicating the thing had blown up.
"Uh-huh, right."
She didn't believe him. She was smart like that.
"So, single strand or..."
He turned back to the outside, closing the cell phone conversation.
"Are you always this stubborn?"
She'd crossed to the doorway and stepped out on her welcome mat.
"I don't know. You'll have to ask my brothers."
Jason smiled at her, noticed her holding back. She glanced over her shoulder and lowered her voice. "The only reason I'm agreeing to this is because Owen is excited about the stupid tree." Jason wasn't opposed to using Owen to have his foot in Rachel's door.
"Trees are important."
She narrowed her eyes and shivered.
"I got 'em,"
Owen said as he walked back into the room. He set the boxes down by the door and reached for his coat.
"I can help." "Okay, then. Let's get this done."
Jason glanced at Rachel, flashed what he hoped was a charming grin, and turned back outside. Owen was a great assistant. He stood at the foot of the ladder and handed Jason what he needed as they inched along the eaves, tacking in the hooks.
"This is the first time I've hung lights outside," Owen told him.
"How is that?"
"My mom and I always lived in a condo."
Jason took note of the fact that the kid didn't mention a dad. He tacked in a hook.
"Rachel said it was cancer."
"Yeah."
Jason looked down at Owen.
"That sucks. I'm sorry."
He shrugged.
"I try not to think about it."
"How's that working out?"
Owen gave him a partial smile.
"Not very well."
Jason turned back to the eaves, pounded another nail.
"I lost my mom, too."
"Really?"
"Plane crash. Both her and my dad on the same day."
"That bites!"
"Were you young like me?" Jason stepped down from the ladder, moved over a few feet as they spoke.
"No, I was an adult."
"Still, they were young."
"Yeah, it's never good. I mean, unless they're really old and stuff."
"Even then, I bet it sucks."
Owen handed him another hook and nail.
"It's good you have Rachel."
The mention of her name had Owen clamming up.
"Did she really hit her head with a door?"
Owen laughed. Jason took that as a yes.
"It's probably a good thing I'm up here on the ladder, then.
She'd probably break a leg,"
Owen said.
Jason opened his mouth to comment and closed it when the front door opened and the woman in question emerged. He and Owen both kept silent.
"How's it going?"
"Almost done with these."
Owen shined a flashlight up on the last 4 feet.
"You know, you really didn't have to do this,"
Rachel told him. "I could have managed." Jason looked at the fading bruise she tried to hide with makeup.
"How's your eye?"
"That was an accident."
He turned to place the last hook before descending off the ladder.
"Time for the lights, Owen."
The strands were plugged in at the power source on the side of the garage. It appeared that the previous owners had purposely placed the plug up at the eaves for the sole purpose of holiday lighting. Jason imagined how many years of struggling they'd managed to skip when it came to stringing extension cords and making lights look right in places you didn't want them. He wondered if his house had the same thing. A crew of half a dozen men put the lights up at the estate, so he didn't know. The brand new multicolored lights were perfectly balanced from the west side of the house to the east. The second story had dormers over the windows that Owen said they hadn't accounted for when buying lights. Still, once they were up and the timer was set to go on and off, Jason stepped away from the ladder one last time to see his work. Rachel and Owen were standing at the edge of the lawn, taking it all in with soft smiles.
"I like," Rachel said. "Looks good."
"Not bad,"
Jason said.
"I bet we could squeeze a couple more strands up by those windows."
Rachel shook her head. "No, that's okay."
"I think that's a great idea,"
Owen interrupted.
"I'll be back on Friday then."
Jason ignored the glare from Rachel as he smiled at Owen. "I wouldn't want to take you away from your busy schedule," Rachel told him. "If you leave the ladder, I can take care of it." Jason lifted an eyebrow.
"She who dances with doors should probably stay away from heights."
Owen laughed out loud.
"Says the man who drove himself into a ditch," Rachel said with a tiny grin.
"I would feel responsible if you got hurt."
"I would feel guilty for monopolizing all your valuable time."
Jason glanced at Owen.
"Don't you have a new job?"
he asked Rachel, assuming she hadn't told Owen about Jason owning the company.
"I do."
Her eyes shifted to Owen, then back.
"If you got hurt and had to miss work, wouldn't that impact your new position?"
She narrowed her eyes.
"Probably."
Jason smiled, rolled his shoulders back.
"Then you're in luck. Because I've had my job for some time, and if I get hurt, I still get a paycheck. So I'll be back Friday, or better yet, Saturday morning, while it's still light out."
They stared at each other, neither backing down.
"Great. Now can we go get the tree?"
Owen asked.
"I'm freezing out here."
Rachel looked away first.
"Fine. Let me get my purse."
"Dances with doors? Who said things like that?" In search of hot chocolate, Owen broke away from them once they hit the tree lot.
"What about we shouldn't date? Did you misunderstand?"
Jason kept his eyes forward.
"If we were dating, I'd be holding your hand."
Rachel glanced at her hand swinging beside his. When was the last time she'd held a man's hand? "I'm sure you have better things to do on a Saturday morning than hanging more Christmas lights."
"You're right."
"Ha!" Maybe he was seeing his way to her point of view.
"I could be taking the beautiful new woman in my life out for brunch, or maybe dinner. But since she's playing hard to get, I have to settle for hanging her Christmas lights instead."
"Maybe not."
"Jason!"
He stopped at a 12-foot noble fir.
"This one's nice."
"I have 10-foot ceilings."
"That might prove tight."
He moved across the aisle to the shorter trees. "I'm not going to date you." His eyes told her he wasn't convinced.
"Fine."
"I need this job."
"You've told me that."
"I mean it. For better or for worse, Owen and I need to stay here until he turns 18.
"Why is that exactly? Was it something his mother wanted?"
"No.
Em wouldn't want us anywhere near here."
Jason stopped looking at trees.
"I don't understand."
Rachel looked over her shoulder, then back. "It's complicated. If Owen walks up, I'm dropping the subject." Jason glanced around, didn't see Owen.
"Fair enough."
Owen's paternal grandparents live close by. They haven't had a relationship with Owen at all. She glanced up, then moved closer and lowered her voice. "When Emily died, She had made it clear I was to be Owen's guardian, but the Colemans thought differently.
Owen's grandparents.
Right. They immediately hired lawyers. I knew ultimately they could win, especially when they said they were going to get Owen's father involved.
Does Owen know his dad?
Barely.
She looked up, stiffened.
There is more to the story that has to wait. Bottom line, we're here to avoid a battle I would lose, and I can't afford to live here without my job.
There you two are!
Owen's words stopped the conversation in half a second. Rachel painted on a smile.
I see you found cocoa and candy.
Owen stirred his hot beverage with a candy cane. Two kids ran past them and darted into the thick of the trees.
Never enough sugar.
Owen licked the candy and turned around. Rachel found Jason watching her, his smile a little less cocky, his eyes a little more serious.
What kind of tree do you like, Owen?
He asked.
One that smells like pine?
Rachel giggled.
I think we're good then.
30 minutes of pulling trees aside and making sure they didn't have massive empty spots where the wind had taken out the branches during their growth, and they finally had their tree. Jason attempted to pull out his wallet, something Rachel bet was a common thing for him, but she refused. My home, my tree, my bill. He scowled. You've helped enough already. He stood back and let her pay. Chapter 8. The tree overtook the living room. Owen's smile outshined it all. It was past 9 when Jason secured the tree in the stand and made adjustments to Rachel's satisfaction. Owen opened a box of unused lights and went to work.
We really can take it from here, Rachel told him.
Jason said nothing and stared. She rolled her eyes.
Okay, fine. Coffee?
That's more like it. I'd love a cup of coffee.
She disappeared into the kitchen. The sound of cupboards opening and closing emerged.
She doesn't like asking for help,
Owen whispered.
I can tell,
Jason whispered back.
I've been trying to paint her room for over a month, but she's never gone longer than a few hours when I'm not at school.
Her room needs to be painted?
Jason glanced at the stairs, had a sudden desire to see the inside of her personal space.
Everything in this house needed repairs and paint. I helped a little before school started, but she's done most of it herself. You should take her out to dinner so I can surprise her.
The kid was smooth. Jason gave him props.
I'll see what I can do.
He lifted his hand, palm up.
I'll give you my cell phone, and we can coordinate.
Owen grinned, looked beyond Jason's shoulder, and handed him his phone. Rachel walked back into the room, coffee cups in hand, before Jason finished typing it in.
So that's how you do that,
he said to Owen, handing over the phone. Owen laughed.
Yeah, it came with the new update. I'll have to try it out.
Jason kept the ruse going.
With your broken phone?
Rachel asked, handing him his cup. Faking innocence, Jason said,
Right.
She shook her head.
Did you want cream or sugar?
He took a drink.
Black is fine.
Ha! That's what she said.
Owen chimed.
Very funny.
Rachel sat on the sofa, facing the tree. Jason didn't catch the joke. It must have shown on his face. Owen pointed a finger at his face.
Black?
Jason's laugh started slow and built.
That was funny.
How are those lights coming? Rachel pushed.
You do have school in the morning.
Half an hour later, the lights were perfectly set, and the boxes of brand new ornaments were empty. Jason didn't remember the last time he trimmed a tree, and this year he'd done it twice. There had to be a message in there somewhere.
My work here is done.
Owen dropped a plastic bag as if he were exiting the stage and dropping a microphone.
Not bad for our first attempt.
Rachel rested with her back against the sofa, her legs crossed at her ankles and propped on the coffee table. Owen stretched, looked at his feet.
Much as I'd love to help clean this up, I have school in the morning.
Don't worry, I'll leave it for you to take care of when you get home. Owen shook his head and walked toward the stairs.
Thanks for your help, Jason.
Anytime.
Owen looked between the two of them.
She has to work in the morning, he said.
Jason noted the suggestion.
My boss hates it when I'm late, too.
Okay, then. Good night.
Good night, they echoed back.
He's a great kid, Jason said once they were alone.
Rachel didn't take credit.
Emily did a fantastic job.
You're picking up the pieces like you know what you're doing.
She shrugged.
Trial by fire, I'm here to tell you.
You make it look easy.
She finally looked in his eyes. Thank you.
So, Owen's grandparents.
The question had burned in his brain all evening as he'd waited for a little time alone with her to understand the details of her situation. Her smile fell.
They agreed not to file a custody suit if we moved here. I had to buy, not rent, as proof that we weren't going to just leave.
So you found a job in Manhattan and made the move.
This year has been hard enough on Owen. I didn't want the threat of him being forced to move away hanging around us for 6 months to a year, then see him here without living with me once the Colemans won.
You sure they would have?
Not that he wanted her to fight and move away. She was a valuable employee, and there was that whole hand-holding thing he wanted to eventually get to. They have money, they have a blood relation, and if TJ demanded custody, it would have happened sooner than later.
TJ is the dad?
Yep, Tarek Jr. He and Em had a thing for about a year. He went off on some photojournalist job when she found out she was expecting Owen. She never kept it from TJ, but, according to her, he would have sucked at the dad thing, and they both agreed that Owen should stay with her. Jason had a hard time with any man who didn't take on the weight of his own child.
Did he help her out, at least?
Sometimes. She didn't demand it. I asked her about it a few times, especially when money was tight. She told me she'd always wanted to be a mother, but didn't see herself being a wife. That if Owen hadn't have happened when he did, she might have taken matters into her own hands and never let the dad know.
That's harsh.
It probably happens more than we think. In vitro is great and all, but expensive when you consider the alternative.
Does Owen know TJ is his dad?
Yep.
He seems well-adjusted, considering the man isn't around.
Emily always said that having no dad, or not one you expected to be around, was better than thinking you were important to someone only to be disappointed. Rachel sighed, looked at him briefly, then back to the tree. She didn't have a great relationship with her father.
Obviously.
But she didn't stop TJ from having the chance with Owen. She simply never sugarcoated the man to Owen. Never said he should be or shouldn't be anything. It helped that TJ wasn't around in the early years, and by the time Owen met him, he was old enough to take the man with a shrug.
Jason couldn't wrap his brain around the whole thing.
But the Colemans want custody?
Yeah. Early on, they wanted nothing to do with Em, thought she was after their money or some stupid thing. My guess is, since TJ never settled down and hasn't given them legitimate grandchildren, they want a shot now that Em isn't in the way.
Forcing it isn't the way to go,
he said. That's what I told them. I can't argue with grandparents wanting to know their grandson. Even TJ made it to Emily's funeral. After everything settled, I realized that if something happened to me, Owen wouldn't have anyone. I mean, my parents would step up, but they'd be just as hard for Owen to live with as the Colemans. So, as long as everyone plays nice, Owen and I will stay here and make a new life. Jason paused.
And if everyone doesn't play nice?
She made eye contact and smiled.
I hear Panama is nice this time of year.
It sounded like a joke, but he wouldn't put it past her.
It is, actually.
You've been?
I own a company that flies private jets. I've been everywhere.
She squeezed her eyes shut, as if she'd forgotten who he was. What are you doing in my living room?
He lifted his coffee cup. Drinking cold coffee and giving you a chance to know me?
Hardly. I've done all the talking.
Jason pushed forward on the chair.
That means we'll have to do it again, so you can dig into my secrets.
She unfolded her legs from the coffee table. About that.
He held up his hand, looked at it.
We're not hand-holding. I have dinner with lots of my employees.
You put up my Christmas lights.
He pointed two fingers in her direction.
You have me there. Still, nothing here is job-ending worthy.
She glanced at the clock on the wall. Well, showing up late is, so...
I get the hint.
He stood along with her, and she walked him to the door. He slid on his coat. Thank you again. For everything.
Rachel opened the door.
He turned to her. She held on to the door, her hands fidgeting with what looked like nerves.
You're welcome,
he said, not making any attempt to hug her, hold her hand and kiss the back of it, push her against the door and taste the back of her throat. Nope, he was quite reserved, given the fact he wanted to do all three of those things.
I'll see you later, she said.
Good night, Rachel.
Good night, Jason. There was a tiny sigh in her voice, whimsy or want. Either way, he liked the way it sounded. Less than 30 minutes later, he was climbing the stairs to the master suite of the estate. The walls of the house quiet, the lights outside illuminating the halls through the window. He pulled his cell phone from his back pocket and shot off a quick text.
Your lights will go off at 11. If that's too long, I'll change it on Saturday.
A quick dot 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 flashed.
It's a miracle! Your phone is alive!
He laughed as he walked into his room.
Don't you have to work in the morning?
Don't you?
I'm already in bed.
Well, he was sitting on his bed, taking off his shoes, and texting.
I bet money you're cleaning up empty decoration boxes.
When she didn't reply right away, he knew he was right.
Rachel?
Nothing.
You're cleaning up, aren't you?
Crickets.
Did your phone die? Like his had?
Ha! It fell in the fish tank.
Jason pictured her living room.
You don't have a fish tank.
I'll work on that.
He managed to kick off one boot.
Good night.
Good night.
Jason tossed his phone to the side of his bed and forced the second boot from his foot. For the first time since he'd moved into the master bedroom, he took notice of the color of paint on his walls. A decorator had removed his parents' life before he'd moved into it. His mother was a buttery yellow kind of woman, and his father had let her decorate the house as she saw fit. Everything except the master suite had stayed the same, but the soothing yellow had gone away in order for Jason to make it his. Shades of olive and brown matched the style of the rest of the house without making the room overly masculine. He'd approved a picture and returned after a European business trip to have it completed. Much like hanging Christmas lights, he hadn't painted a wall since he was a teenager. And that had to have been one of the walls in the guest house Nathan occupied on the property. The man had made it his business to give Jason and his brothers a space they could make mistakes in. Not that his own parents cared that they would screw things up. It was just that the main house was too large to ever consider tackling a project such as painting a room. He liked the feeling of accomplishment something as simple as hanging a strand of lights gave him. There was a lightness inside his chest that he hadn't felt in a while. He liked it. Halfway through Thursday, Trent made an unexpected appearance at Jason's door. The youngest brother came to the office twice a week, at most.
He headed the vacation helicopter tour section of their business and then spent the rest of his time working from home or flying all over the globe with his wife, Monica, helping relief efforts. Flying in medicine or flying out a heart, the two of them had made it their quest in life to help others. They'd been married for 4 years and still looked at each other with love-struck eyes.
"To what do I owe the honor?"
Jason pushed a pile of papers aside and stood to shake his brother's hand.
"It's my day in purgatory."
Jason smiled at Trent's reference to the Manhattan office.
"You don't hate it as much as you carry on."
"That's debatable."
They sat down.
"What's on your mind?"
"Cut right through the bull, eh?"
"I do have a schedule to keep here in purgatory."
Trent leaned forward, rested his hands on his knees.
"I'll keep it short. Monica and I want to use the ranch for a charity fundraising event in early spring."
Jason paused.
"You don't have to ask."
"Yes, I do."
"It's as much your home as it is mine."
Trent lifted a hand in the air.
"Fine, but you live there."
No matter how many times he told his brothers his permission wasn't needed, they always asked.
"All right. Yes, you can use the estate. Just tell the staff."
"We'd like to make sure you can attend."
Jason sat up.
"Well, now we're talking a different thing."
He opened his calendar on his desktop.
"When are you thinking?"
"Last weekend of April or the first weekend of May?"
"Has to be May. I'll be in the London offices the last week in April."
"Perfect. I'll tell Monica."
Trent stood to leave.
"By the way, it's going to be an auction event. Monica wanted to let you know that if you didn't bring a date, she's threatening to auction you off for a night out with the CEO.
Jason stared in silence for several seconds.
"I'll have a date."
"Really?"
Jason paused on purpose, the kind of waiting that made the other person listen to what was going to be said next.
"Yes, really."
Trent grinned.
"I'll tell her. Anyone in particular?"
Now it was time to move things along.
"Goodbye, Trent."
His brother lifted both hands in the air as he walked out.
"Okay, okay, just asking."
He turned before walking out of the office.
"I heard you left work early on Wednesday."
Jason narrowed his eyes.
"Yeah, so?"
"You never leave work early."
Jason saw right through his little brother's questioning.
"Goodbye, Trent."
While Rachel worked diligently to have a report on her marketing plan ready for Jason and the senior executives on Monday, she spent an awful lot of time looking toward the hall, wondering when Jason would show up. He didn't. She thought about texting him. She didn't. Julie glanced around the divider separating them and caught her staring out the window.
"Psst."
Rachel jumped.
"What?"
"Any chance I can talk you into drinks after work?
Happy hour?" For a minute, Julie looked hopeful.
"I remember happy hour. It's that time before you need to get on the freeway and make sure the kid living with you is home and has dinner."
Julie pushed her chair back behind the divider separating them.
"If you took the damn train, you'd be home in time for all that and still have an hour for some happy in your life."
Rachel squeezed her eyes closed and pinched the bridge of her nose.
"I'm sorry, Julie."
"Whatever."
She felt as if she was screwing up the only friend she'd really managed since moving to the city. Rachel pushed her chair around the cubby to see her colleague.
"Julie."
She kept typing.
"I don't know how to balance this. It isn't like Owen has been my responsibility for 15 years, and I know the boundaries."
Julie stopped and met her gaze.
"Is he a latchkey kid now?"
Rachel blinked.
"Does he come home from high school, turn the lock on the door, and you're not home?"
"Yes."
"Can he microwave a meal, shove a pizza in the oven?"
Rachel felt the walls closing in.
"Yes."
Julie took a few breaths.
"Then he won't miss you for an hour while you try and be a single adult."
She hated that Julie was right. Much as Rachel didn't like stepping out of her newfound comfort zone with Owen, her friend was right. Next week. Julie rolled her eyes and looked away. No, really. I'll tell Owen I'm staying in the city for a night out, and we'll be home late. One Friday night won't hurt, right? Julie slowly let her lips pull into a grin. You're sure?
No.
Yes. Even Em and I would go out on occasion. In the early years, Em would get a babysitter. Still, Owen's mother managed to play adult once in a while.
I'm holding you to it.
Rachel tried to smile.
And if we have the night, bring a little black dress. You can change at my place.
The walls started to close in. Why did she have to suggest a night when an hour would have made Julie happy?
Black dress. Got it.
She pushed back to her space.
Wait, it's winter. I'll be cold. Little black dress.
Julie's staccato couldn't be missed.
Okay. And a coat. No reason to be pissing cold.
Rachel placed her head on her desk and mumbled, Oh my God.
Don't even think about backing out on me.
Her head popped up.
I'm not. Good.
Julie peeked around the corner.
You're gonna love New York.
Rachel skipped the high school football game that night and used the time to shop for a few more boxes of Christmas lights and presents. The shopping center closest to home was shoulder-to-shoulder people herding through the department stores. Parents dragged small children around after their bedtimes, resulting in tears and tantrums. The line to sit on St. Nick's lap wrapped around like a summer day in Disneyland. Holiday music blared as if it was yelling at the shoppers to enjoy the damn season. Rachel didn't recall a Christmas when there was this much stress mixing in with mistletoe. Then again, her role in any gathering consisted of bringing a hot dish or a bottle of wine. She normally opted for the liquor. Now that she was responsible for a kid, a very grown-up teenager, but a kid nevertheless, everything was different. Instantly, Christmas became something it had never been before. A chore. She scolded herself after walking into a video game store to pick out the latest must-have on Owen's list. The line to the register was out the door. She should have just shopped on Amazon like everyone else. She glanced around. Almost everyone, she muttered. A massive display advertised the game she sought, along with a zillion copies of the disc. She snagged her copy and found the last person in the long line. How long have you been waiting? She asked the lady in front of her.
5 minutes.
The man in front of her chimed in.
I've been here 10. The people at the register haven't moved.
The teenagers manning the store appeared to be dealing with an exchange for one customer, and only two registers were open. To be fair, there were only two places the employees could check people out. 5 minutes later, and the line finally moved up by one. Behind her, it had grown by three. Rachel fished her cell phone out of her back pocket, searching for a distraction. She opened it up to find a missed text from Jason.
Who is winning the game tonight?
She snapped a picture of the long line and sent it off.
Couldn't tell you.
That looks brutal.
Shoot me now,
she joked.
I do my shopping in June.
They moved forward by a family of four.
I take it there are no kids in the family?
Because if there were, early shopping just meant more shopping. Kids had a tendency to change their minds, and since technology was the big turn-on for teens, stuff was dated in 6 months. Rachel ignored the woman who backed into her, the lady's bags nearly taking out the display standing in the aisle.
Nope, not yet.
That was interesting.
Yet?
I assume it's only a matter of time. Glenn has been married a year and a half. Trent, just over 4 years.
She was down to two customers in front of her.
I'll try harder to get this all done online next year.
You still have time this year.
She glanced up, moved forward, then ducked back into her phone. Other than a couple of video games, Owen didn't ask for anything. I think he feels guilty.
Maybe I can get some ideas out of him tomorrow.
Much as she wanted to wipe the smile off her face at the thought of Jason coming back over, she didn't. That would be great. Any idea is better than me buying the kids socks.
Now that she thought about it, socks weren't a bad idea.
Poor Owen. I'll see what I can find out.
Thanks.
Is 9 too early?
That's perfect.
See you then.
Rachel tucked her phone away and noticed the lady behind her glaring. A register had opened and no less than 5 people were snarling at her. Oh, sorry. She skittered up and tried to ignore the not-so-nice words from those in line behind her. Chapter 9. It was the first time Jason had been to the house during daylight hours. The Cape Cod style boasted lots of molding around the windows and more wood than stone accents. The small porch was large enough for one chair, or maybe a 2-person swing if it angled toward the door. But it didn't have either. Someone had given the entry a fresh coat of paint in the not-too-distant past. Jason wondered if that was something Rachel did after she moved in, or if the sellers had put in some effort. He could see where there was more work to be done once winter lost its grip on the East Coast. He rapped on the door twice. Like last time, Owen answered with food in his hand. This time it was a bagel.
Hey!
Owen stepped aside.
Hey!
Jason mimicked back.
Rachel!
How the kid could get that loud with a mouthful of food was quite a talent.
Jason is here!
She replied from upstairs.
Coming!
Owen nodded.
Come on in!
Jason entered the warm space and smiled at the Christmas tree, which hadn't changed since he left on Wednesday. Owen waved his bagel in the air.
Have you eaten?
I'm good.
The sound of Rachel as she double-timed down the stairs had him turning around. Her hair was wet from the shower, her face void of makeup. Her cheeks were flushed, and her skin was damp. Jason had a strong urge to lean in and sniff.
Good morning,
he greeted her.
You're very prompt. All my flights arrive on time.
Those dusty pink lips pulled into a grin.
You're a pilot? Owen asked. I know how to fly a plane.
Owen's eyes grew wide.
That's epic! Did you know Rachel works for some highfalutin private jet company? She did mention it.
Jason caught Rachel's tense posture and lack of adding anything to the conversation.
So, are you ready to string some more lights?
Would you like some coffee first? Rachel asked.
After, when I'm wet and cold.
Rachel looked over his shoulder and out the window. It's raining?
Drizzling.
You don't have to do this today. Jason opened the door.
This isn't California. If we waited for good weather, we wouldn't get anything done here.
Okay. Let me know if you need anything. Owen grabbed his coat and walked out. Jason followed. Her boss. Nope. The owner of the highfalutin private jet company was on her roof, in the rain, for the second time in a week. She'd bet money there weren't any other employees of Fairchild Charters who could say that. She and Jason might not be dating, but there certainly was something going on here she didn't know how to navigate. She'd sat down to put on makeup before he arrived and stopped herself. It shouldn't matter how smooth her skin looked or how expressive her eyes were if he was just being neighborly. He didn't seem to notice, and he hadn't run away. Not that she applied her cosmetics with a heavy hand. Well, she had that week due to the black eye, but as a norm, she didn't. From the window, she watched Owen and Jason set up the ladder as they had earlier in the week. Jason went up, and this time she heard footsteps on her roof. She cringed and really hoped her boss knew what he was doing and wasn't going to be part of her landscape with a wrong turn. Instead of standing by the window and stressing herself out, she went through the kitchen to her mudroom and out into the garage to gather the tools she needed for her indoor activity. Removing the kitchen door left a frame that needed to come out. She'd become well acquainted with chisels and hand sanders. Wood putty did a great job of hiding her mistakes before she added a new layer of paint to cover it all up. After setting up her workspace, she took her hammer and chisel and went to work. There was a harmony in the pounding going on outside as she went at it inside. Much as this was work, it also calmed her soul. She liked the diversity of the tasks she'd managed to accomplish since moving to Connecticut. There was a first time for everything, and Rachel had experienced many do-it-yourself ones. It quickly became apparent that the simple doorway, which should have taken an hour of careful destruction, was going to take much longer. Like other places in the house, the kitchen threshold had no less than a dozen layers of paint. And to make it worse, the semi-gloss stuff used in the high-moisture room seemed to stick better. Or maybe that was the years of grease built up. She gave up kneeling on the ground and took a chair from the kitchen table to make things easier on her back. She hummed a popular country song while she worked and lost track of time. A gust of cold air followed Jason and Owen as they came back inside. "That was quick," she said, looking up from her perch. "We've been out there an hour and a half." Owen shook off his coat and hung it by the door. Jason followed his lead. Rachel glanced at the clock, then back at what little she'd accomplished. "I'm never going to get this done before tonight," she said to herself. It only took a few steps for Jason to reach her. "What are you doing?"
"Taking away the rest of the door that bit me."
He assessed her work.
"You could just rip the whole thing out and put in new wood."
"I could, if I owned the right kind of saw to cut it, or had a truck to carry the supplies I'd need from the hardware store." She glanced up. "And no, that wasn't a request to use your truck again. What I'm doing works fine. It takes longer, but it's something I can do without all the aforementioned tools."
"I told you she likes to do it all herself," Owen said.
"Hey," she scolded him. "I didn't hang the lights."
"You would have," Jason said under his breath.
She couldn't argue that. Brushing the flaky paint from her palms, she stood. "Ready for that coffee?" Before Jason opened his mouth, Owen said,
"No, but hot chocolate sounds dope."
"Dope?"
"Yeah, like awesome, only better."
Rachel rolled her eyes. "Fine." She glanced at Jason. "Coffee?" He hesitated.
"Actually, hot chocolate does sound dope, right?"
Owen asked. "You're both incorrigible." "Fine, two hot chocolates and one adult coffee coming right up." Owen took that as his exit line and turned back to the living room. He plopped on the couch and sank into his cell phone. Jason followed her into the kitchen. "Thanks again," she said over her shoulder as she took milk from her refrigerator and moved to the pantry to find the chocolate stash.
"You're welcome."
"I seem to be saying that a lot to you this week."
"I'm glad I can help."
Jason was a big presence in the tiny kitchen space. She had to move around him to reach the cupboard with the mugs. She lowered her voice.
"So did he give you any gift ideas?"
"As a matter of fact,"
he whispered,
"there's this..."
"Hey, why is it so quiet in there?"
"We're not being quiet," Rachel said, louder than she intended.
"You're not making out or anything, are you?"
Rachel knew her face shot bright red.
"Of course not." "No such luck,"
Jason said. Rachel was close enough to push at Jason's shoulder.
"Stop it. Don't encourage him."
"Why? It's a nice switch from him grabbing a butcher knife the night I ditched my car."
Rachel moved around him again to reach the stove and warm the milk.
"You can tell me later,"
she managed to say softly enough to avoid Owen overhearing her. Jason seemed to like the fact that she had to spin around him since he didn't volunteer to move out of her way. Finally, when she'd veered to the left and then to the right one final time, she placed both hands on his shoulders and pushed him to stand against the threshold. "There. This is a one-butt kitchen, and yours is one too many." He laughed.
"One butt? I've never heard that before."
She turned on the flame, poured in the milk. "Only one butt can cook in this kitchen at the same time, or you'll fall over each other. Which is why I took out the door. If Owen is walking in and out, it makes it even harder to get around." Jason looked around the space, as if sizing it up.
"I wonder if you can take some of this wall down, open it up a little."
"That's what I thought. It would certainly feel less cramped in here. But I won't have as much cupboard space if I did." He walked to the back of the room and around the wall to the mudroom and the doorway to the garage and the basement.
"What's this lead to?"
"Basement."
"Finished?"
"No, I wish. I hate it down there. Saw one too many B-horror flicks growing up." Jason smiled.
"Mind if I take a look?"
"Knock yourself out." He disappeared down the basement stairs, the smell of the musty space wafting from the open door. She was pouring the milk into the mugs when he reappeared.
"You have a lot of space under this house."
"Really? I wouldn't know. I run down, put a load of laundry in, and run up before the boogeyman gets me." Jason started laughing. "Laugh all you want. The chick always dies in the basement, usually tied to a pole in her swimming suit." He laughed harder. "Do you want to drink this or wear it?"
"With threats like that, the boogeyman wouldn't come anywhere near here."
She topped the drink off with marshmallows for Owen, then looked at Jason. He eyed the white, fluffy sugar drops like a puppy stares down a treat. She topped Jason's drink off, too. After pouring herself a cup of coffee, she put a dash of cream in and then took Owen his cup.
"Thanks."
"No problem. Thank you both for putting up the rest of the lights." Owen sipped his drink, leaving marshmallows on his lips.
"Have to make a good impression on the weather killers."
Rachel cringed.
"Weather killers?" Jason asked. "My grandparents,"
Owen said, before Rachel found her voice.
"Why do you call them weather killers?"
Owen pushed on.
"Because if it wasn't for them, we'd be enjoying a 70-degree Christmas in California. But no, we had to move here, killing our perfect weather."
Rachel glanced at Jason before focusing on Owen. "They just want to get to know you."
"Whatever. When are they coming tonight anyway?"
6:00. Owen closed his eyes and tilted his head back. Rachel took no joy in his pain. Neither of them could avoid the couple. She just hoped it would get easier the longer they were close by. Jason questioned her with a look. "Dinner with Owen's grandparents. It will be the first time they've come here since we moved in. We've met them once a month since the move." Jason digested the information with a single nod.
"Is it so bad, Owen?"
"They're rich snobs. I can't believe I'm related to them." "They're not that bad."
Well, they were.
But downplaying their faults was something she had to try. The longer things were peaceful, the better.
"They walk around with their noses in the air."
Again, Jason's eyes questioned her. She answered with a single nod and a half smile. The Colemans did sniff the room before walking in.
"I bet they find something to bitch about tonight."
"They can't find fault with our lights," Jason said.
Owen looked at Jason.
"Or the tree. But they'll find something."
Rachel didn't argue.
"That bad?"
Jason asked her. "I'm sure it will be fine," she answered.
$10 says they complain about something within 10 minutes of getting here."
"Stop."
"See, Jason, Rachel won't even bet against me. She knows I'm right."
"Have you tried pouring the sugar on when they get that way?"
Jason asked.
"Like what?"
Jason set his cup aside, leaned forward with his hands resting on his knees.
"My mom used to tell me to compliment the hell out of complainers.
Every time they complain, tell them you like the color shirt they're wearing or how it matches their eyes. Anything to distract and force them off the negativity path.
That works? He asked.
Most of the time. When it doesn't, everyone else in the room starts to catch on, and before you know it, you've made a game out of calling out the person putting a downer on the party. Compliments get you everywhere, Owen.
Only if the person you're complimenting is slow on catching on, Rachel said.
Jason picked up his cup again, took a sip. This is really good, by the way. Did you get a lot of practice in L.A. with all that sunny weather?
It was cold on occasion.
Well, this is perfect.
She cared that he liked it. Then she noticed both Owen and Jason staring at her.
Oh, you just... I'm not slow.
Jason sipped his drink again. Hard to stay negative when someone's pouring sugar. But this is really good.
Touché. Owen finished his hot chocolate and set his cup aside.
I'll try it tonight and let you know if it works. I will expect a full report on my desk by Monday.
Rachel almost made a comment about the report she did owe him on Monday, but decided now was not a good time to tell Owen that Jason was her boss. Not that there would be a good time.
That sounds like homework.
Speaking of, don't you have finals this week?
Next week.
He stood.
But I probably should pick up my room. Wouldn't want Grandma Frownface to pop a blood vessel behind an eyeball looking at a dirty room.
Jason commented once Owen was halfway up the stairs.
He really doesn't like them.
He doesn't.
Are they that bad?
I haven't been looking for the positive, to be honest. I'll pour my own sugar tonight and come up with something.
At least the black eye is nearly gone and they won't speculate on the cause.
You wouldn't believe the looks I got this week. A lady at the mall handed me a business card with a domestic abuse hotline on it.
That's funny.
Big sunglasses when it's raining aren't exactly inconspicuous either.
At least your boss didn't think you took up bar fighting and question your character.
He had the sexiest smile when he tried to tease her. He was too busy putting up my lights to notice my stocked liquor cabinet.
Jason stared at her lips and, without trying, made her moisten them with her tongue.
Her heart jumped just looking at him watching her.
Her boss.
She shook her head. Well, I should probably get back to my doorway.
Want some help?
No,
she said too quickly.
No, I have it. Then I need to run to the grocery store and figure out dinner. He pushed off the couch.
That's my cue to leave.
She walked him to the door. I can't thank you enough. He tilted his head.
You could go out to dinner with me.
I could.
Jason did a double take.
But then we'd end up with a drink or two. I'd let my guard down and find you holding my hand. Maybe you'd even let your arm linger on my waistline after opening the door for me.
The image caught in her head, and her stomach warmed.
The food would be spectacular, especially since I didn't have to cook it, she continued.
She closed her eyes and imagined buttery scallops and vegetables that melted in your mouth. Fresh bread.
Candlelight.
I can make all that happen, Jason quietly said.
We'd probably do more than hold hands.
The touch of Jason's fingertips on her arm made her open her eyes. The warmth in his face hadn't been there a moment before.
Rachel swallowed and let reality in. Then we'd start seeing each other more at work. People would start to talk. Next thing you know, I'm getting called out for you playing favorites. I mean, if I missed my deadlines because of you, you'd probably understand.
I'm an understanding guy.
Next thing you know, we're fighting over work or schedules or toothpaste.
Jason smirked.
Or maybe you'd find someone that suits you better. An old flame returns.
I doubt
Feelings change. Most romantic relationships float in and out of our lives. No harm, no foul. But feelings always get hurt in the end. And then I'll be in need of a new job. And I like my job.
I wouldn't.
She lifted two fingers in the air and cut him off. Unemployment is exactly what the Colemans would use to gain custody of Owen. If I'm unable to provide for him, the courts wouldn't favor me.
Jason dropped his arm.
I'm sorry, Jason. You're thoughtful, charming, super hot, even when licking marshmallows off your lips.
Why had she said that?
But, he said, Owen comes first. I promised Emily. They stood there staring at each other for a full minute.
I understand,
he finally said. Disappointment sat in her chest. The first decent guy to ask her out in forever just had to come with serious strings.
No dating.
No dating, she agreed.
No hand-holding.
She glanced at his long fingers and sighed. No.
Coming over for hot chocolate and decorating for Christmas is okay?
Of course. I'm happy to advise you on the company Christmas party and drive you away from ditched cars in return. He turned and placed his hand on the door.
Got it. Friends and favors.
He opened the door and looked back. Thank you. He smiled.
Let me know how your dinner with Frown Face works out.
I will. With a single nod, he bundled into his coat and walked to his truck. She watched as he pulled out of her driveway and down the street. Damn! Chapter 10 Deidrea Coleman was a tall, willowy woman who apparently didn't stand in line when they were handing out curves. Deidrea's slight height advantage over Rachel had her picking an outfit with a pair of boots with a couple of extra inches. That way she was eye to eye with the weather-killing woman when she walked through the door. Welcome, Rachel greeted the couple. I hope you didn't have any trouble finding the place. Tarek helped his wife with her coat.
No problem at all, he said.
The kinder of the two, Tarek had more salt than pepper in his hair, probably a result of being married to his wife for a few decades. The man was not a slave to the gym and carried a few extra pounds around his stomach. Where is my grandson? Deidrea asked before Rachel could take her coat. Owen! Rachel called up the stairs, knowing damn well he was waiting until the last possible second to join them. Somewhat satisfied that Owen was in the house, Deidrea moved deeper into the room. Very quaint. Compliment or insult? Rachel wasn't sure how to take her comment. We like it. Deidrea lifted her nose and turned. Insult, Rachel decided.
It's very nice, Tarek said.
Isn't it a bit small? Owen and I fit perfectly, Rachel told the woman. Deidrea dismissed the Christmas tree with a sniff and glanced at the stairway. Can I get you something to drink?
Arsenic? Eye of Newt?
Perrier with lime, Deidrea requested, as if she were in a restaurant. Rachel tried hard not to cringe. Fresh out of sparkling water, I'm afraid. I have wine, coffee, tea, soda, bottled water with lemon. Herbal. Mint or chamomile? Deidrea huffed. Chamomile, I suppose.
Just coffee for me,
Tarek said, glaring at his wife. I'll see what's taking Owen so long. With that, Rachel double-timed it upstairs and found Owen in his room with his earbuds in. Dude! He pulled the cord and looked up from his phone.
What?
The weather killers are downstairs.
Help me,
she said in a curt whisper.
That bad already?
Owen swung his legs off his bed. She asked for Perrier.
What's that?
Never mind, just help. I have to make tea. She left his room, Owen on her heels.
I hate this, he said.
Shh, they'll hear you. With a painted-on smile, she forced her shoulders back and made nice.
What is Perrier?
Jason stared at the text for a full minute before facing